الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading in the work نصيحة للنساء by عبد الله الوادعية حفظه الله تعالى in the chapter الحجاب وغض البصر the chapter with regards to the hijab the legislative covering for the women and likewise lowering the gaze we have come to the portion that the author, she mentioned, حفظه الله تعالى وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْإِسَاءَةِ وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْإِسَاءَةِ مَنْ تَشْرَ بَيْنَ النِّسَاءَ أَنَّهَا تَلْبَسُ الْحِجَابِ وَتَكْشِفُ عَنْ يَدَيْهَا وَقَدَمَيْهَا وَعَيْنَيْهَا وَلَا تَسْتُرُهَا عِنْدَ خُرُوجِهَا وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْإِسَاءَةِ There's a mistake here in the print. It should say الْإِسَاءَةِ وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْإِسَاءَةِ مَنْ تَشْرَ بَيْنَ النِّسَاءَ أنها تلبس الحجاب وتكشف عن يديها وقدميها وعينيها ولا تسترها عند خروجها فإن هذا ذريعة إلى الفتنة وقد يظهرها النقاب بمظهر حسن فيفتن أعظم من كشف الوجه كله وقد تألم بعض الرجال من ذلك فقال So she mentioned, حفظه الله تعالى, in regards to the issue of the hijab, that some of the errors or mistakes that some women fall into is, or some of the errors and mistakes that are spreading amongst the women, is that one of them, she will wear the hijab, and then she will uncover her hands and her feet and her eyes, and she will not cover them properly whenever she leaves out of her home. And indeed, this is a means and a pathway that leads to fitna, to trials and tribulation. And she says, and وَقَدْ يُظْهِرُهَا النِّقَابُ بِمَظْهَرٍ حَسَنٍ And the niqab itself, the niqab could make the woman appear in a beautiful and nice manner, be a fitna for others greater than if she had uncovered her face in entirety. Then possibly a woman, she could wear the niqab in a manner that could be a greater fitna. That could be that in a manner that could display her beauty or make her more attractive and make her a greater fitna than if she had revealed her face in entirety. وَقَدْ تَأَلَّمَ بَعْضُ الرِّجَالِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ And some of the men, they have been harmed by this and they have felt great pain and problems because of this. And one of them he has said, and she mentioned some lines of poetry, لَهَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُ الْحَرِيرِ وَمَنْطِقٌ رَخِيمُ الْحَوَاشِ لَا هُرَاءٌ وَلَا نَزْرُ وعيناني قال الله كونا فكانتا فعولاني بالألباب ما تفعل الخمر That one of the poet he said about this affair, complaining and mentioning the pains, the heartache that he has found in the trials that he has met with regards to dealing with the likes of these women, he says that she has skin that is as soft as silk and speech that is beautiful. And her figure likewise, and two eyes that Allah, he said, be, and they were, and they do, with a sound-minded man, that which alcohol does. And he meaning making them intoxicated. Intoxicated with her beauty. Meaning that whenever he's seen her, only her eyes in this manner. And it was a means to try him, and a means for fitna. So this is very important for the woman to remember that she can be a great fitna for men. That she can be a great fitna for men, and men are tried by women, and this is a great trial and a test. And it has been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Usama ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he said, "Ma taraktu ba'di fitnatan adarra 'ala ar-rijali min an-nisa," that I have not left after me a trial and tribulation that is more harmful for men than women. I have not left a trial and tribulation, I have not left a fitna after me. I have not left a fitna after me that is more harmful upon men than women. So the women can be a great trial and fitna for the men. And many men, they're tried by the women, especially those who do not cover properly or those who do not carry themselves properly whenever they leave the home. Whenever they leave the home. Or even today, some of them, they will not even leave the home. Rather, they will enter the homes of everyone by displaying themselves outwardly on social media. What do you have to be learned? Becoming a great child in fitna for mankind. Never mind for one man. Never mind for one man. So she says now, حفظه الله, حفظها الله. وإذا التزمت المرأة بواجبها نحو الحجاب وخرجت فعلى الرجال أن يغضوا أبصارهم. So if the woman, she holds fast to her obligation, she upholds her obligation with regards to the hijab and she leaves, meaning in the legislative manner that is proper, then it is an incumbent obligation likewise upon the men that they lower their gaze. Then it is an incumbent obligation likewise upon the men that they lower their gaze. فَإِنَّهَا قَدْ تَعْرِضُ لَهَا الْأَحْوَالُ وَهِيَ تَمْشِي فَرُبَّمَا تَأْتِي رِيحٌ فَتَرْفَعُ شَيْئًا مِنْ حِجَابِهَا ونحو ذلك من الأسباب التي ربما تكشف شيئا من زينة المرأة. So she says now, حفظه الله, because it's possible that some circumstances may occur to the woman while she's walking. While she's walking in public, something may happen to her, and possibly the wind could blow and uncover something from her hijab, and the likes like this from the means that could lead to something from her beauty being exposed. Something from the beauty of the woman being exposed. So just because the woman, she is covered properly, does not make it permissible for the man to look at her, especially to look at her with desire and with lust, and to look at her in this manner, observing her beauty and thinking and imagining about that beauty. So even if she's covered, he must lower his gaze. Even here, many times a woman who is covered likewise can still be a fitna for many men, especially those who have a weakness in their heart with regards to this affair, especially those who are not married. Or having issues with regards to this, it's a great trial. It's a great trial for the men. It has been collected in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتقوا الدنيا اتقوا الدنيا واتقوا النساء, that you have to fear the dunya, and you have fear Allah with regards to the dunya and the trials of the dunya, واتقوا النساء, and likewise fear the women, and you fear Allah with regards to them. Take precaution from being tried from the dunya, and take precaution from being tried by the women. So she says now, hafidhahullah. وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَقُولُ, and Allah the Most High, He says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the believing men that they must lower their gaze and protect their private parts, and this is more pure for them. This is more pure and better for them. And this verse here is in Surah An-Nur. And just before this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the verse of the light. And He says about Himself, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, that Allah, He is the light of the heavens and the earth. And then He mentioned the example of the light of Allah, meaning the Iman and the sincere faith, and the light that Allah blesses the believers with, that light in their heart, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how a believer is guided by that. And then a few verses later, Allah, He mentions this affair here, the affair of lowering the gaze and protecting the private parts. And this is an indication that the light of Allah and the beneficial knowledge is obtained by checking the eyes. As for if a person is negligent with regards to his eyes, this will be a means to put out the light of insight in his heart. And as for the one who protects their eyes for the sake of Allah from looking at that which is displeasing to Allah, then Allah will open the insight in their heart. So in this verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the believing men, orders the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to the believing men, يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. So حِفْظُ الْبَصَرِ, protecting the eyes, lowering the gaze, is the fundamental principle with regards to protecting the privates. And if a person is negligent with regards to their eyes, this will lead them to being negligent and violating great violations with regards to their privates. And this is the step, and this is the pathway that will lead to this affair, by looking and not having control of oneself with regards to their eyes, and looking loosely at others, at the opposite sex, and the lies like this, and that which is impermissible. So she says, وَفِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كُتِبَ عَلَى بْنِ آدَمَ نَصِيبُهُ مِنَ الزِّنَا مُدْرِكٌ ذَلِكَ لَا مَحَالَةَ فَزِنَ الْعَيْنِ النَّظَرُ. So she says that it has been connected in a sahihain. It has been connected in a sahihain from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, kutiba ala bini adam nasibuhu. Here in the text, likewise, there's a fatha on the ba, and this is incorrect. You should say nasibuhu, naibu fa'il, marfu. Kutiba ala bini adam nasibuhu min az-zina. That it has been decreed and written for the son of Adam, his portion of fornication. He will fall into that inevitably. This fazina al-ayn an-nadhar. So therefore, the zina, the fornication of the eye, is to look. The narration continues. She mentions only a portion, and it continues. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, wazina al-lisan al-mantiq, and the fornication of the tongue is to speak. وَالنَّفْسُ تَمَنَّى وَتَشْتَهِي, and the soul, it desires and craves, it lusts for this affair. وَالْفَرْجُ يُصَدِّقُ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ وَيُكَذِّبُهُ, and the privates, they testify to that, all of it, or they deny it. So this is a very important narration with regards to this affair, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning that the eye can fall into fornication, and likewise the tongue can fall into fornication. Yani, but not the same fornication in the severity of actually committing that action, of actually committing the action of intercourse out of wedlock. But this is from the means that lead to that. And for this reason, it has been considered a type of zina. But the ruling is not the same, and it's definitely not as severe as actually committing intercourse, sexual intercourse out of wedlock, which is what is zina and fornication. But from the means that lead to this, and this is the issue here, and this is the point here, the means that lead to this is to look at that which is haram and impermissible from the opposite sex with this intention, with this desire, with this lust, with this shahwa, al-muharrama, to look in this manner, and then likewise, to speak about that is the next stage and the next step, to take the next movement, to go ahead and to speak and to make appointments and to encourage one another upon this affair, wali'adhu billah, and the soul likewise desires that, it lusts for that. And this is something that the human being is tried with. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, kutiba, this has been written and decreed, ala ibn Adam nasibuhu min az-zina, that his portion has been decreed for him. مُدْرِكُمْ ذَلِكَ لَا مَحَالَةٍ, he is going to fall into that inevitably, and he's going to be tried by that, no doubt. And the zina, فَزِينَ الْعَيْنِ النَّظَرُ وَزِينَ الْلِسَانِ الْمَنْطِقِ, and the zina of the ayn is to look at that which is impermissible, that which is haram. So this is something that would occur. And likewise to speak about this affair, the affair of fornication, and to talk about that, and to talk with the opposite sex in this manner, and that is impermissible, that will lead to actually committing fornication. So she says, حفظها الله فالعين زناها النظر إذا حصل تلذذ بالنظرة والله عز وجل يقول إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. فَالْعَيْنُ زِنَاهَا النَّظَرُ. So the eye is fornication, is that it will look. إِذَا حَصَلَ تَلَذُّذٌ مِنَ النَّظْرَ, if one finds delight and pleasure in looking. So this is a condition here, or a clarification of what is intended. Because sometimes one will see something that it's not allowed for them to see, but they did not look in that intentionally. And whenever they see it, they immediately turn away and seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and dislike that their eyes fell on that thing. So this one will not harm them. This one,
it will not harm them. Rather, they will be excused for this. And this has also come authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the first look you're excused for, but as for the second one, you're not excused for. So there is an issue called nadratu al-faj'ah. Nadratu al-faj'ah, the sudden look. A person, he sees something suddenly whenever he's not looking for it. A person, he sees something or she sees something suddenly that is impermissible to look at, but they were not intending to look at that. And then immediately they lower their gaze, then this will not harm them and they will not be taken to account for that. But if they look a second time after seeing that, intentionally looking at that affair, looking at that man or looking at that woman, and if it's a man looking at a woman or a woman looking at a man with desire and taking pleasure in what they see, then this now, they will be taken to account for that. And this is the one that carries a sin. And this is the one that will bring harm to a person's heart and affect their religion. So the one who's tried with this affair, from the men, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, if a man, he sees the nadratul faj'ah, and he sees something suddenly, and he seeks refuge with Allah from that, and he does not entertain that, then he's encouraged to go to his family and to go to his wife and to relieve that desire before it takes hold. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in authentic narration in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, inna ma'aha mithlu adadi ma'aha, because his wife, she has the same thing that woman has, and that he saw. The point is now that a person, he's not held accountable for that first look or that first glimpse that occurs without intention. This is especially important in these days, and in these lands, a person is tried with people from the Muslims and from the non-Muslims, that they are exposing themselves, and a person is exposed to seeing them. But the one who does not intend to look at them, and he only sees them for a moment and then turns away or lowers their gaze and the likes like this, then this, inshallah, will not harm them, and they're excused for that. As for if they entertain that and look again or continue to look and they do not turn away, or they turn away and then they take another peek and then they entertain that and they take pleasure in that, like she's saying here, فَالْعَيْنُ زِنَاهَا النَّظَرُ إِذَا حَصَلَ تَلَذُّذٌ, that the عَيْن, the eye, is fornication, is to look, if pleasure occurs in looking. إِذَا حَصَلَ تَلَذُّذٌ مِنَ النَّظَرَةِ, if pleasure occurs from that view and from looking. As for if a person, he's seen that suddenly or she's seen that suddenly, and then they lowered their gaze and they said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, or they say, Astaghfirullah, so on and so forth like this, then inshallah, this will not harm them. But the one that will harm them is the one that is intentional, or the one that continues. The one that continues, or the one that is intentional on the second look, so on and so forth. So on and so forth. So she says now, وَمِنْ حُقُوقِ الطَّرِيقِ غَضُّ الْبَصَرِ كَمَا جَاءَ عَنِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمِ, and from the rights of the path, any from the pathways on the street, from the rights of the path, any from the roads and on the street, and the abdus and the likes like this, is that one must lower their gaze, as has come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, this is a narration that she's referring to, which is collected by Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Sa'id radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسَ فِي الطُّرُقَاتِ, beware, you have to take precaution from sitting in the pathways, sitting in the avenues, and sitting on the streets. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا لَنَا بُدٌّ مِنْ مَا لَنَا بُدُّ مِنْ مَجَالِسِنَا نَتَحَدَّثُ فِيهَا. And they said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we must, it's a must for us that we will sit in our gatherings and speak together and talk about the affairs that we need to discuss. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَإِذَا أَبَيْتُمْ إِلَّا الْمَجْلِسَ فَإِذَا أَبَيْتُمْ إِلَّا الْمَجْلِسَ فَأَعْطُوا الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّهُ. And if you refuse except to sit in your gatherings, then you must give the pathway, you must give the road or the avenue its right. قَالُوا وَمَا حَقُّهُ, and they said, what is the right? The right of the tariq, the right of the pathway, the right of the road, the right of the street, the right of the avenue. قَالَ, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, غض البصر والكف الأذى ورد السلام والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified that the right of the road, those who are going to be on the streets and in the pathways, is that they must lower their gaze. And this is the shahid that she's referring to, hafidhah Allah. And likewise, they must refrain the harm. They must refrain from doing anything that will harm the other people on the pathways. And also they must return the salam, as well as order that which is good and forbid that which is evil. So those who are going to be on the pathways and in the roads and in the streets and out in public and the likes like this, then they must lower their gaze. And also they must refrain from harming others. And if they come across the believers, they must return to salam. And as well, they must advise and admonish the people in order that which is good and forbid that which is evil. And forbid that which is evil. So this is from the rights. This is from the rights of the pathway, from the rights of the avenues. Whenever we go outside of our homes, we have to lower our gaze. We have to check our eyes with the reins of the legislation and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the blessing of eyesight. So she says, وَرُبَّ نَظْرَةٍ تَفْعَلُ فِي قَلْبِ صَاحِبِهَا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُهُ السِّهَامُ فَيَسِيرُ مَفْتُونًا. That maybe a look would do with a person's heart that which arrows will not do. And this person will become tried in this manner. And some people, they're tried with looking at that which is haram and impermissible, especially in these days, especially with these devices, especially when people go to where they think they're alone and no one can see them, the halawat. They're tried with these affairs, looking at that which is haram and impermissible. And many times, one look leads them to becoming tried. People are literally, like she's saying here, maftoon with looking at these impermissible and filthy images. Looking at these impermissible and filthy images. And all it took was to be loose with the eyes one time, two times, three times, and then they are trapped and drawn in and they cannot control themselves. So this is what she's saying is very true. And many people are tried by that. That by looking at that which is haram, it will do to a person's heart that which arrows are not able to do. And even by bringing harm and causing trials and weakening one's faith. يَقُولُ الشَّاعِرُ, she says, and the poet, he says, قُلُّ الْحَوَادِثِ مَبَدَأُوهَا مِنَ النَّظْرِ وَمُعْظَمُ النَّارِ مِنْ مُسْتَصْغَرِ الشَّرَرِ. كم نظرة فعلت في قلب صاحبها فعل السهام بلا قوس ولا وتر أسر مقلته ما ضر مهجته لا مرحبا بسرور عاد بالضرر. So she mentions some lines of poetry. كل الحوادث مبدأها من النظر. That all of the events, all of the events and the problems that occur, the beginning of that is by looking. By taking a peek, is by looking. وَمُعَظَمُ النَّارِ مِنْ مُسْتَصْغَرِ الشَّرَرِ. And the majority of the fire is by way of the small sparks that are considered insignificant. And the point is that these major affairs that occur to a person, trials and tribulations that befall them, and the fitan that they get involved in, and the trials that their hearts are affected by, Many times these things began by looking, by taking a look, peeking at the fitna, looking into these affairs. وَمُعَظَمُ النَّارِ مِنْ مُسْتَصْغَرِ الشَّرَرِ. And the majority of the fire is started by these small sparks that are considered insignificant. Somebody may see some small sparks and be like, oh, these are nothing. But then eventually, if they're left unattended, then these sparks could burn down buildings or neighborhoods. So this is the example. A person, they'll just take one look and think nothing of it, and it could be a reason to destroy their heart. And when the heart is destroyed, then the religion and the faith becomes tried. And the worst of all trials in this life is to be tried in one's deen. And we ask Allah to not try us in our deen. So the poet, he says, كَمْ نَظْرَةٍ فَعَلَتْ فِي قَلْبِ صَاحِبِهَا فِعْلَ السِّهَامِ بِلَا قَوْسٍ وَلَا وَتَرِ. And how many times has one look done to the heart of a person that which the arrows will do without any bow and no string? Meaning that if a person he shot with the arrow in his heart, it would bring him pain, and it may even finish him. But the looking in this manner at that which is unlawful to look at with pleasure and lust and desiring that thing, this will destroy a person's heart worse than the arrows. أَسَرَّ مُقْلَتَهُ مَا ضَرَّ مُهْجَتَهُ. He delighted his eyes with that which harms his soul and his heart. And this is the real, this is the outcome. أَسَرَّ مُقْلَتَهُ مَا ضَرَّ مُهْجَتَهُ لَا مَرْحَبًا بِسْرُورٍ عَادَ بِالضَّرَرِ. That he found delight, he delighted his eyes with that which harms his heart and his soul. No welcome for any pleasure that brings about harm. So this is a short-lived pleasure. The people who look at these affairs and they take pleasure in viewing the impermissible sights, then later on after that, it only comes back to their heart with pain and harm and hardship and heartache in their life, because they're lusting and looking at something they cannot have and they cannot touch. And if they wind up even getting a hold of that, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, and the pains and the trials and the evils that come about from actually falling into the act of fornication is even more severe and even more worse. We're discussing now just the steps that lead to that. And from those greatest steps is to take a look. Is to look. So she says, well, يقول آخر. And another, he says, قول للمليحة في الخمار الأسود ماذا فعلت بناسك متعبدي قد كان شمر للصلاة ثيابه حتى عرضت له باب المسجد ردي عليه صلاته وصيامه لا تفتنيه بحق ربي محمد. And he says, قل للمليحة في الخمار الأسود. Say to the cute, attractive one in her black khimar, ماذا فعلت بناسك متعبدي. What have you done to this pious, righteous, devout worshipper? قد كان شمر للصلاة ثيابه. He verily, he got his clothes ready. He's ready to go for the salat. حتى عرضت له بباب المسجد. Until you appeared to him at the door of the masjid. وليعذ بالله. This is a great trial. The people are writing poetry about these affairs. These lines of poetry and the likes of them are found in the works of the people of knowledge. And you will find the likes of these poems, these lines of poetry in the works of Ibn Qayyim, in his work at Dawa, the disease and the cure, and the issues with regards to the dangers of looking, having loose eyes, looking unnecessarily, and the problems that come about by that. Also the virtue of refraining the eyes and protecting the eyes and guarding the eyes and the benefits that come about from that. Likewise, he has another book called Rawat al-Muhibbin wa Nuzhat al-Mushtaqin. He has a book about the gardens of the lovers, meaning those who truly love Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, the excursions of those who desire and yearn for the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned many issues about love in this book, the love that is permissible and the love that is haram, the love that is obligatory and the likes like this. And he mentioned chapters with regards to these issues, and many of these lines of poetry are found in both of these books, and along with a number of other benefits. So my point is that this is something that is known from the times of old. From the times of old, that a woman, she would try a man, even a man who has, yani, who was striving hard, قَدْ كَانَ شَمَّرَ لِلصَّلَاةِ. شَمَّرَ لِلصَّلَاةِ, literally tashmir, it means that a person, he will pull up his sleeves. التشمير, تشمير, يشمر, and ساعد الجد. This is an expression the Arabs, they use. That a person, he will pull his sleeves up from his forearms, yani out of seriousness. And this is something that is known. When people get serious, they roll their sleeves up. They roll their sleeves up and they're ready to get serious. They're ready to take things seriously. So in this expression for someone who is very diligent and someone who is very serious and engaged in what they're doing, they will say this, not necessarily meaning that he rolls up his sleeves, but what they're saying is that this person is diligent and this person is serious in that which he's engaged in. So she's speaking about a man who's rolling up his sleeves, getting ready for the salat. And he's not really rolling up his sleeves because it's not allowed for a man to roll up their sleeves in the salat. Rather, this is something that is disliked. But what she's intending is that this person, he has great dedication. And he's someone who is striving in the path of Allah. And he leaves his home preparing to go to the salat. And he's devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except that whenever he reaches the door of the masjid, he's tried by one of those women. He's tried by one of those sisters. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ So sometimes the sisters, they're not cautious, or maybe they don't fear Allah, and they don't realize the trials that they're bringing about from their brothers, even in the masjid, or in the parking lot, especially on Jumu'ah, especially on Eid, whenever some of them are dressed in a manner that's not proper, and not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then they're mingling freely, or standing in the open, waiting to be seen, waiting to be a trial, waiting to be a trap, and misused and misled by the devil, وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ المرأة أورى إذا خرجت من بيتها استشرفها الشيطان. We have seen this narration a number of times. So قل للمليحة في الخمار الأسود ماذا فعلت بالناسك المتعبد. Say to the attractive one in her black khimar, what have you done to the devoted worshipper? قد كان شمر للصلاة ثيابه حتى عرضت له بباب المسجد. He was dedicated and ready to establish the prayer and all the way until you appear to him at the door of the masjid. Ruddi alayhi salatu wa siyam. Give him his prayer and his fasting back. La taftinihi bihaqi rabbi Muhammad. Do not try him. Do not try him. Do not bring trials and fitna to your brothers, my noble sisters. So she says, wa yaqulu al-akhar. And another poet, he says, لا يأمنن على النساء أخ أخا ما في الرجال على النساء أمين إن الأمين وإن تحرز مرة لا بد أن بالنظرة سيخون. The poet here, he says that a brother should never trust another brother with the women. A brother should never trust another brother with the women. There is no man with regards to women who is trustworthy. The one who is trustworthy, even if he tries to be trustworthy and honest one time, then he must indeed betray by taking a look. By taking a look. And the looks, they lead to that which comes next. And the outcome is not praiseworthy.
وَقَالَ آخَرَ And another one, he says, نَظْرَةٌ فَابْتِسَامَةٌ فَسَلَامٌ فَكَلَامٌ فَمَوْعِدٌ فَلِقَاءُ فَكَلَامٌ فَمَوْعِدٌ فَلِقَاءُ نَظْرَةٌ One look. فَابْتِسَامَةٌ And then a smile. فَسَلَامٌ Then giving salam. فَكَلَامٌ And then now they're talking. فَمَوْعِدٌ فَلِقَاءُ And then they make an appointment. And then after that, there is a meeting. Then after that, there is a meeting. So this is how the affair occurs. نَظْرَةٌ فَابْتِسَامَةٌ فَسَلَامٌ فَكَلَامٌ فَمَوْعِدٌ فَلِقَاءُ The first one, they will look, and then after that, they will smile, thinking that they're courteous, and then they'll give salam, assalamu alayk, assalamu alayki, like this, or assalamu alayka, ya akhi, and the likes like this. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ This is from the traps and the steps of the devil. فَكَرَامٌ Because after that, they start speaking. فَمَوْعِدٌ And then they make an appointment. فَلِقَاءُ And then they meet, and don't ask after that what will happen whenever they meet. So she says, فَالْحَذَرْ مِنْ صَرْفِ الْبَصَرْ إِلَى الرِّجَالِ You have to take precaution from letting your eyes look at the men. وَكَذَلِكَ الرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْ يَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَنْ يُحَافِظُوا عَلَى أَبْصَارِهِ مِنَ النَّظَرْ إِلَى النِّسَاءَ الْأَجْنَبِيَاتِ And likewise the men, they must fear Allah and guard their eyes from looking at the strange women. Any of the women who are not from their mahalim. وَرُبَّمَا مَنْ كَانَ هَذَا حَالَهُ أَنَّهُ يُعَاقَبُ فَتَسِيرُ مْرَأَتُهُ تَنْظُرُ إِلَى الرِّجَالِ وَتَتَطَلَّعُ إِلَيْهِمْ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ الْجَزَاءَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ وَكَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَيْنُ These are wallahi, wallahi, great advices and admonishments. And if we read in the books of adab, like al-adab al-shar'iyya by Ibn Muflih, rahimahullah, The Legislative Manners by Ibn Muflih, and likewise the poems, Al-Alfiyya fil Adab, the 100 lines of poetry, and the manners, and the likes like this you will find by Abdul Qawi, and the explanation by Al-Hajjawi, so on and so forth, you will find them mentioning the likes of these affairs. She's summarizing for us in a good manner. May Allah reward her. She says that you must take precaution, you must watch out, be aware from turning your eyes to the men. From letting your eyes look at the men, and likewise the men, they must fear Allah and protect their eyesight from looking at the women
who are not from there, from their maharim, and maybe the one who this is their situation, and he's somebody who looks loosely at men and women, or at men or women, and whether it's a woman or a man, the one who looks loosely like this with their eyes, possibly they will be punished. Possibly they will be punished. Like a man who does this, possibly they will be punished, and their woman will start to look at men. Possibly they'll be punished, and their woman will start to look at men. He's looking at other men's women. Possibly, if he's not careful, Allah will punish him, and his woman will start to look at other men. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ And she will start to observe them and to take pleasure in that. Because the recompense is according to the type of the deed. And as you do, you will be dealt with. كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ And as you do, you will be dealt with. يعني كَمَا تَفْعَلُ يُفْعَلُ بِكَ وَكَمَا تَجْزِي تُجْزَى As you deal with people and as you act, you will be dealt with and taken to account. And in that work by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, Rawdatu al-Muhibbin, the garden of the lovers, and those who truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned some benefits about guarding the eyes. And then he mentioned some statements from the people of knowledge, and I summarize one beneficial point here. Related to that, what she's mentioning, كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ وَكَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ That the recompense is according to the type of action, and as you do, you will be dealt with. And as you do, you will be dealt with. So he mentioned, رَحِيمَهَا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ يَجَزِي الْعَبْدَ عَلَى عَمَلِهِ بِمَا هُوَ مِنْ جِنْسِهِ And Allah subhanahu, He will recompense a person for his deeds according to the type of his action. فَمَنْ غَضَّ بَصَرَهُ عَنِ الْمَحَارِمِ عَوَّضَهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ إِطْلَاقَ نُورَ بَصِيرَتِهِ So if a person lowers their gaze and refrains from looking at that which is haram, then Allah will grant him in replace of that, Allah in replace of that will open up the light of insight in his heart. فَلَمَّا حَبَسَ بَصَرَهُ لِلَّهِ أَطْلَقَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بَصِيرَتَهُ So whenever he refrained and withheld his eyesight for the sake of Allah, Allah opened up for him the insight and light in his heart. وَمَنْ أَطْلَقَ بَصَرَهُ فِي الْمَحَارِمِ حَبَسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بَصِيرَتَهُ حَبَسَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بَصِيرَتَهُ And the one who lets his eyesight loose, looking at that which is haram and impermissible, then Allah Azza wa Jal will close up his insight. So this is something that is of utmost importance, especially for those who are striving to learn and seek knowledge, that they learn how to control their limbs, especially their heart and their tongue and their eyes and their ears. Especially their heart and their tongue and their eyes and their ears. The issue here, discussion is about the eyes. The discussion is about the eyes and the dangers of being loose with one's eyes. One must learn how to fear Allah with their eyes. And those who are sincere in that, then Allah will open up their heart and grant them great insight. And they will be able to see clearly the realities of this life and the hereafter. And it will be a means of guidance for them. It will be a means of guidance for them from being concerned with their eyes whenever they leave their home and whenever they're on their device. From being concerned with their eyes and their religion and their heart and their relationship with their Lord whenever they leave their home and whenever they're alone with their device. And whenever they're alone with their device. So she says, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْخَبْطِ وَالْخَلْطِ أَنْ يُقَالَ قَلْبِ السَّلِيمِ And from the errors and the mistakes, any things that are mixed up and that which is in great confusion. From the great confusion and errors and mistakes that occur and things that have been just completely mixed up and incorrect, and you call qalbi salim, that one will say, my heart's clean, my heart's sound, my heart's good. Ana niyati tayyiba, I have a good intention to say this about oneself. Meaning it's okay for me to talk to her. I can have a conversation with her. I'm going to call her to Islam. I'm going to call her to the Sunnah. I'm going to call him to the Sunnah, so on and so forth. And my heart is pure. Alhamdulillah, my intention is good. I know myself. Like this, all of this is from deception. a deception of the devils. And this is not the proper understanding nor the correct way. She says, هذا في الحقيقة مغالطة شنيعة. This is a filthy mistake in reality. This is a filthy mistake in reality. والقلوب بيد الرحمن يقلبها كيف يشاء. And the hearts are in the hands of Ar-Rahman. And the hearts are in the hands of Ar-Rahman. He turns them as he wills. وَالشَّيْطَانُ يَجْرِي مِنْ بِنِ آدَمَ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ. And the devil, he flows through the son of Adam in the manner of the blood. وَالسَّلَامَةُ الْقَلْبِ لَا يُعَادِلُهَا شَيْءٌ. And the fact that the heart is safe from trials and problems, there is nothing compares to. Nothing compares to this. Nothing compares to having safety in one's with regards to one's heart, that the heart will not be tried with these lusts and desires, that the heart will not be tried or overcome with these thoughts and these whims, that the heart will not be tried with misconceptions or misunderstandings and creed. And the lies like this, nothing is comparable to this. So a person should not jeopardize their heart and put themselves in a situation where they will be tried. وَمَنْ افْتَتَنَ قَلْبَهُ بِالنِّسَى وَالْعَكْسِ لَا يَكُونُ هَادِي الْبَالِ مُنْ شَرِيحِ الصَّدْرِ. And the one who their heart is tried by women, or opposite to that, meaning the one who her heart is tried by men, then they will never find ease of mind in their heart. Likewise, will never be content. And they're always going to be thinking about these things. These things is always going to rile up in their self, especially whenever they're alone and they're not engaged in any deeds from the dunya nor the hereafter. They're left alone idle, then this will start to tear their heart apart and bother their mind and disturb them until they can't control their eyes anymore, and they will open up those websites and the likes like this. بَلْ يَكُونُ مَشْغُولًا وَفِي خَلَقٍ. Rather, they're going to be always occupied thinking about this affair. It will disturb their mind literally, and it will cause them to have great worry and distress. بِأَنَّهُ يُرِيدُ تَحْقِيقَ أُمْنِيَاتِهِ. Because this person here is just wants to actualize their whims and desires. It will grow. These desires, we're tried with them. They're inside the human being. We have these affairs. And this is from the trials of life that we're going to be taken to account with regards to. We have to check our desires for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and not put those desires where they're not allowed to be placed. Rather, they must be used in that which is lawful and permissible. And for this reason, it's legislated to get married. It's legislated to get married, and the one who is not able to get married, then they must strive against their soul to lower their gaze and to avoid the means that will corrupt their heart, and avoid the means that will lead them to be tried by these affairs until they are able to get married, and then they can partake in these pleasures in a manner that's lawful and permissible for them. Alhamdulillah, and these problems in their heart will go away by the permission of Allah, because these lusts and desires will be put in the proper place, and the proper place that is lawful and legislated. So she says, وَبَعْضُ النِّسَاءِ وَبَعْضُ النَّاسِ إِذَا كَانَ قَادِمًا عَلَى الزَّوَاجِ سَوَاءً كَانَ رَجُلًا أَوْ امْرَأَةً فَيُطْلِقُ بَصَرَهُ إِلَى النِّسَاءِ إِنْ كَانَ رَجُلًا وَتُطْلِقُ بَصَرَهَا إِلَى الرِّجَالِ إِنْ كَانَتْ امْرَأَةً بِحُجَّةِ إِرَادَةِ الْاخْتِيَارِ بِحُجَّةِ إِرَادَةِ الْاخْتِيَارِ. So some people, whenever they're advancing upon marriage, whenever they decide that they're ready to start looking for a spouse in marriage, whether they're a male or a female, then if it's a male, he will start to let his eyes loose, looking at all of the women. Or if it's a female, then she will start letting her eyes look, taking a look at all of the men with the excuse or the proof claiming that they want to choose and make a choice who they want to get married to. So she says, وَلَجُوَابُ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْحُجَّةِ الْوَاهِيَةِ. And the response to this weak evidence or proof that they claim they have, أَنَّ نَظْرَ الْخَاطِبِ إِلَى مَخْطُوبَتِهِ مَشْرُوعٌ كَمَا تَقَدَّمَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. That the fact that the one who was proposing to get married looks at the one whom he's proposing to, this is legislated, as has preceded. And that we say to them, yes, the man who is ready to get married and he's proposing to a woman, it's lawful for him to look at her. And also it's lawful for her to look at him in the limits of the legislation. This nadra, this view, this look is lawful and legislated in the limits of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, as has preceded in the narration that we have discussed in previous classes. So she says, وَكَمَّ فِي الصَّحِحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ سَهْلِ بْنِ سَعْدِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فِي قِصَّةِ الْوَاهِبَةِ قال فنظر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم طأطأ رأسه. Just also as is in al-Sahihain from the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'd رضي الله عنه, in the story of the woman who offered herself in marriage to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he looked at her and then he lowered his head. And then he lowered his head صلى الله عليه وسلم. She says, ولكن ما يكون النظر إلى كل امرأة تراها في الطريق أو إلى كل رجل أو إلى كل رجل تلقينه في الطريق ولكن إلى الخاطب أو المخطوبة. But the issue is here that you're not allowed to look at every woman that you see in the road or on the pathway or in the street, and that you, your sister as well, you're not allowed to look at every man that you meet. Rather, the one who is proposing is allowed to look at the one whom he's proposing to. Is allowed to look at the one whom he's proposing to. And likewise, the one being proposed to, she's allowed to look at the one who is proposing. الخاطب ينظر إلى مخطوبته وهي تنظر إليه. This is allowed. وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ غَضِّ الْبَصْرِ الزَّوَاجِ. And from the means of being able to lower the eyes, to lower the gaze, from the means of lowering the gaze is that one will get married. كما في صحيحين عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه, just as in الصحيحين from the hadith of عبد الله ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه that the قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he said that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said يا معشر الشباب من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, O you group of youth, whoever from you is able to find the provisions, then let him get married. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصْرِ وَأَحْصَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ, because it's more proper for you to be able to lower your eyes, and likewise to be able to protect and guard your privates. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. And whoever is not able, and if he's not able to get married, doesn't have the finances and the provision to get married, then he must fast. Then he must fast, because this is a means for him to check his desires. This is a means for him to weaken those desires and to check his soul in this manner. So getting married here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, is from the great means to be able to lower the eyes, to lower the gaze and protect the eyes from looking at that which is impermissible. And likewise, a great means to guard oneself, to guard one's privates from using them in a manner that is unlawful. That is unlawful. So therefore, it's highly encouraged for the believers in general to get married, especially the youth. يَا مَعْشَرَ الشَّبَابَ مَنْ اسْتَطَعَ مِنْكُمَ الْبَعَةَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. Oh you youth, oh you group of youth, whoever is able from you to have provision and the means financially to get married, then let him get married. Then let him get married, because it's a great means for you to be able to lower your gaze and likewise to protect your private parts. And whoever is not able to, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ. And whoever is not able to get married, then the cure for him and the means to deal with these desires until he's able to get married is to fast, a non-obligatory fast. So now she says, تَنْبِيهٌ بَعْضُ النِّسَى تَكْشِفُ عَلَى الْأَقَارِبِ وَخُصُوصًا إِذَا كَانَ فِي الْبَيْتِ أُسَرٌ لَيْسُ بِمَحَارِمٍ. That here is something to draw the attention to, and that is that some women, they uncover themselves in front of their relatives, especially whenever there are families in the house that are not from the maharim, فَإِنَّهَا تَكْشِفُ بِحُجَّةٍ أَنَّهَا لَا تَقْدِرُ أَن تَلْبِسَ حِجَابَهَا مَا دَامُ مَعٍ فِي بَيْتٍ وَاحِدٍ. Because so this woman here, she will uncover herself in front of them with a proof, claiming to have a proof that she's not able to wear her hijab so long as they are together in one house. والجواب, and the response, عن هذه الحجة الواهية, and the response to this weak proof or so-called proof they have in this issue, أن الدين ليس بالهوى, that the religion is not based upon desires. وما رد كثير من أمور الشريعة وما رد كثير من أمور الشريعة إلا بسبب الهوى. And many things from the affairs of the legislation were not rejected except because of desires. كما قال سبحانه, just as the Most High, He says, فإن لم يستجيبوا لك فاعلم أنما يتبعون أهواءهم. And if they do not respond to you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, then you must know, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, if they do not respond to you, then you must know, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, that they are only following their desires. ومن أضل ممن اتبع هواه بغير هدى من الله. And who is more misguided and in error than one who follows his desires without any guidance from Allah? Meaning no one is in greater error or more misguided than the one who follows their desires without guidance from Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Indeed, Allah, He does not guide the unjust and wrongdoing people. وَطَاعَةُ الْهَوَى وَتَقْدِيمُهُ عَلَى أَحْكَامِ الشَّرْعِ يُعْتَبَرُ. She mentions now, حَبِيظَهُ Allah, a great benefit, closing this issue. وَطَاعَةُ الْهَوَى وَتَقْدِيمُهُ عَلَى أَحْكَامِ الشَّرْعِ يُعْتَبَرُ عِبَادَةً لَهُ. That obeying the desires and showing preference to the whims over the legislative rulings, over the rulings of the legislation, is considered worshipping the desires. It's considered worshipping the desires. كما قال سبحانه, just as the Most High, He says, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Have you not seen the one who has taken his desires, his God as his desires, and the one who has taken his desires as his God? And are you going to be a disposer of his affairs? And you're not in charge of his affairs. Any of the people who take their desires as their Lord. And it's been mentioned from Al-Hassan Al-Basri rahimahullah, he said about this person, فَرَأَيْتَ مَنَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهُ وَهُوَى. Have you not seen the one who takes his desires as his ilah, as his object of worship? This is the one, لَا يَهْوَى شَيْئًا إِلَّا رَكِبَهُ. هو الذي لا يهوى شيئا إلا ركبه وإلا يركبه. That he's the one who does not desire anything except for he will commit it, except for he will perpetrate it. Anything they want, if that desire arises in their heart, they do it. Whatever they want, whatever they like. So some people, they're tried like this in this affair. They cannot control their desires. What I want to, I want this, I want that. Whatever their heart wants, they have no control over it. They will go mad trying to satisfy their lust and their desires. And they will do very despicable things. This will lead them to do very despicable things many times, violating the rights of others and also transgressing the limits and following their desires. And the likes of these affairs here, falling in to that which is not praiseworthy from these lowly actions of fahisha, wa li adhab billah. So she says, wa li khuturati ittiba' al-hawa kana min du'a an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ma rawa at-Tirmidhi an Qutbah ibn Malik, that because of the dangers of following desires, it was from the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as has been narrated by at-Tirmidhi rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the narration of Qutbah Ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would say, Allahumma jannibni munkarat al-akhlaq wal-a'mal wal-ahwa wal-adwa. And she says, wal-hadithu sahihun. And the narration is authentic. So she says that because of the dangers of following the desires, it was from the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which is narrated by Tirmidhi rahimahullah from the hadith of Qutbah ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say, Allahumma jannibni munkarat al-akhlaq. Oh Allah, take me away from the evil manners. وَالْأَعْمَالِ and the evil deeds, وَالْأَهْوَى and from the evil desires, وَالْأَدْوَى and from the evil diseases, وَالْحَدِيثُ صَحِيحٌ and the narration is authentic. And has come in this wording like this, اللهم جنبني, and it also has come, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من منكرات الأخلاق والأعمال والأهواء. And this is the wording that is in At-Tirmidhi. The wording that is in At-Tirmidhi, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min munkarat al-akhlaqi wal-a'mali wal-ahwa. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the evil manners and actions and desires. From the evil manners and actions and desires. Some other wordings likewise, it has come an addition, wal-adwa. Allahumma jannibni munkarat al-akhlaqi wal-a'mali wal-ahwa'i wal-adwa. O Allah, take me away. Take me far away from the evil manners and the evil deeds and the evil desires and the evil diseases and the evil diseases. So this is a great benefit for us to take heed with regards to the issue of the hijab that has preceded. Now the discussion is about lowering the gaze. And the eyes, these are blessings. The eyesight is a blessing and a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for a believer to realize these affairs, the relationship between al-ahkam al-shar'iyya and the promise of Jannah and the threat of an-nar. The relationship, al-irtibat al-wathiq, bayna al-ahkam al-shar'iyya wa bayna al-wa'di bil-jannati wal-wa'idi bil-nar. Wal-wa'idi bil-nar, to pay attention to this affair, my noble sisters. There's a great relationship between the legislative rulings and the promise of paradise and the threat of the fire. The promise of paradise and the threat of the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ بِإِذْنِ. And Allah, He calls all of mankind. He calls the people to Jannah and to forgiveness. Allah is calling and inviting all of us to Jannah and to forgiveness, inviting us to His Jannah and inviting us to have forgiveness from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala بِإِذْنِهِ. بِإِذْنِهِ. And this is the shahid. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ بِإِذْنِهِ. And Allah, He calls to al-Jannah and to forgiveness by His permission. بِإِذْنِهِ. By His permission. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, and this is from the benefits that we read this morning in the tafsir class, reading from the tafsir Ibn Kathir, with the abridgment of Shaykh Ahmed Shakir, rahimahumullah, that Ibn Kathir, he mentioned that this verse here, rahimahullah, bi'ithnihi, Allah, He calls to Jannah, to the Jannah, He invites to the Jannah and to forgiveness, bi'ithnihi, by His permission, He said, ay bi shar'ihi, wa bima amara bihi, وَمَا نَهَا أَنْهُ, meaning that Allah, He calls to Jannah and invites the people to forgiveness by His permission, meaning by His legislation, and that which He orders and that which He forbids. So if you hope to have mercy and forgiveness and the pleasure of Allah, and you hope to enter paradise, then you must abide by these legislative rulings and obey Allah in that which He orders and commands, and avoid and stay away from that which He has forbidden and reprimands, and does not allow, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's of utmost importance to learn the legislative rulings in our life daily, beginning with the proper creed. And the greatest ruling is the ruling to worship Allah alone with no partners. And the greatest prohibition is to associate any partner with Allah in any aspect of worship whatsoever. And then to establish the religion outwardly in action, beginning with the salah and the conditions of the salah, from the tahara and the purification, and the rest of the affairs of the religion, including the way that we earn our money and how we wear our clothes whenever we go outside in public. All of these affairs, there are great legislative rulings and there are great legislative manners and etiquettes that we must abide by if we hope to have forgiveness from Allah and Jannah. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ بِإِذْنِهِ أَيْ بِشَرْئِهِ وَبِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ وَنَهَى عَنْهُ. Allah, He invites and calls the people to Jannah and to have forgiveness from Him by His permission, meaning by His legislation, and by that which He orders and that which He forbids. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.